Thank you, Steve. It's Friday, and that means we talk to Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor of Decider.com, a wonderful website if you're a fan of TV and entertainment. Hello, Alexander.
Hello, how are you?
Nice to talk to you. We have to be very, very careful whenever discussing Game of Thrones, because I know how much it means to people to not know too much if they haven't seen the episodes
yet. Everybody has spoiled everything. I haven't watched it, but
you already know what's going on.
I mean, I've seen it all over social media.
I mean, listen, there's been a lot of discussion about this, and spoilers in particular, between Avengers Endgame the last weekend, as well as the big Battle of Winterfell episode with Game of Thrones, and you saw opposite things. You've seen with Endgame, certainly some people have talked about things online, but for the most part, people have been relatively quiet, even for a full week, about that movie versus Battle of Winterfell, and I'll cop to doing this myself. As it was happening, every single plot beat was spoiled online, nonstop. And I think part of that is people are treating it like almost like a live sports event. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's something that everybody's watching together, everybody's streaming together, everybody's excited and screaming and crying all at the same time. And in my opinion, at least, and I don't want to step on anybody who is spoiler phobic, in my opinion, at least, there's something very special about that in a very different way.
You know what's nice about not having seen a minute of it? I'll see a headline that says, "Can you believe what they did with the Winter Warlock?" And I'm like, I don't know what that means, so I'm in good shape, you know?
See, now I want a character called the Winter Warlock to show up on the show.
Just to show me what's what. This last episode in particular, Alex, a little bit dark, even by Game of Thrones standards, huh?
Yes, but literally dark. You know, certainly, spoiler, I guess, people died. There was a huge battle going on. But there was a huge uproar because it was filmed in the dark. It's a night battle the entire time. The name of the episode is The Long Night. And a lot of viewers were complaining that they could not see anything in the episode. For the most part, the lighting was off of torches that people were carrying or a little bit of dragon fire that was coming down, and that was pretty much it. And depending on the settings on your viewing device, it really was just a black. Then that was it. The cinematographer shot back at people and said, "Well, that's not my fault. I shot it correctly. You just set your TV the wrong way."
Oh.
Which seemed like maybe the wrong response to have to that particular thing.
Yeah, it did.
But I will say, as somebody who watched it on my laptop with contrast all the way up, it is a really beautiful episode, and if you felt like on your TV you couldn't see it for whatever reason, give it another shot on another device and see what you can pick up.
You talk about like the live tweeting and the social media with Game of Thrones. ABC, The Kids Are All Right, is on the bubble. They don't know if they're going to be picked up for a second season. So on Tuesday night during the episode, a lot of the stars, Michael Cudlitz, Mary McCormick, these people were live tweeting as it was going on, and it was super fun, and the ratings went up because of it. We're going to be talking to Mary McCormick on Tuesday about The Kids Are All Right, but there's some kind of community where you feel like you're there with the stars, you know, watching it together. It's kind of a cool feeling.
It's actually become, and this is not necessarily from any behind-the-scenes interview so much as info, so much as seeing people talking about it online and hearing people talk about it and showrunners, but social media conversation has become a very important part of the pickup process, particularly as ratings have gone down across the board. It becomes less about necessarily those live viewers, but so much about how passionately those live viewers are talking about that thing. Specifically, networks like, say, The CW or Freeform that are a little younger skewing, that are a little more social, they almost don't care about the broadcast ratings so much as, are they streaming it? Are they talking about it? Are they memeing it? And I think that's starting to bleed through into other shows like ABC shows, like The Kids All Right, that are on the bubble, that if they're not quite sure if it has all the viewers there, at the very least, if people are excited about it and having a good time talking about it, that can give it the push into being picked up.
It's so interesting because this was a concept that not that long ago would have been impossible, of course, but now it's becoming more commonplace, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, pretty much any show, if you're a fan of it, you'll see on a given week the showrunner, the creators, the actors involved live tweeting about it, particularly if they're savvy about it, like you were saying with Kids All Right. Certainly, I see a lot of shows like last night, Cloak and Dagger was on Freeform. That's actually a great one if you're a fan of that show because it's a very layered, nuanced show, and the creator will pop in almost constantly through the episode and give this really fascinating behind-the-scenes info about the show. like, hey, here's why we picked this thing about the set. Maybe you didn't notice this thing. That was a callback to an episode on season one. Here's where we got the music for this particular part of the episode. And it's almost like, not to age myself, but it's almost like VH1 pop-up videos in real time in a certain way. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
I loved that.
Yeah,
that's
I really did. You know what else is a nice dimension is on the Goldbergs at the end of an episode where they'll have on the actual teacher, the real teacher, and then the actor who played him on the show.
I love that.
And they'll talk about what they did to make that happen. That's an impressive little extra layer. I like that element.
Yeah, it's fun. Listen, the more bonus you can give the viewers and the more you can take them behind the scenes and make them feel part of the show, the better it is for the viewer experience.
Yep, yep. I have seen Christina Applegate on a bunch of late-night talk shows talking about her new series, Dead to Me. That premieres on Netflix today. What can you tell us about Dead to Me?
Sure. This is from writer Liz Feldman. It stars Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini as two grieving widows. It's kind of a dark comedy. According to our reviewer and according to a lot of the reviews, it's not the best show in the world. It's very focused on twists. It's a little long, but Josh Sorokatch, our writer, is actually writing something right now about this. He says, regardless of anything, Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini are superb in it, and they're normally treated as just comedic actresses, quote unquote, but this really gives them a chance to act and delve into the material. And so regardless of what you think of the show, if you like these two performers, you might have a really good time watching this.
She used a phrase, I watched her the other night on a show, and she used the phrase, nothing is what you think it is. And that got my attention. And then I thought, but that's the way real life is now. Do I want that on TV where nothing is what I think it is?
I mean, unless you're having twists that happen to you every 30 minutes, it's probably a slightly different thing.
Oh, okay. I guess that's good news. Zac Efron is on TV playing the evil Ted Bundy. What's that all about?
Yeah, this is a new movie that came to Netflix today. He's starring as Ted Bundy, as you said. The name of the movie is Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. It was actually from director Joe Berlinger, who did Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes that was on Netflix earlier this year. That was a documentary. This is a biopic. But what this does is it flips the script a little bit and focuses on the women in Ted Bundy's life, the people that loved him despite absolutely everything. And according to our reviewer, Anna Menta, it's also, the movie's okay. If you're looking for something a little better about Ted Bundy, maybe check out the documentaries. But Zac Efron is superb in it. He's magnetic. He's terrible. They don't shy away from the fact that Ted Bundy is one of the worst human beings that's ever existed, but it's a great performance.
I have to say, Zac Efron's one of those people that I don't know if I'm supposed to like, but I always end up liking him. Everything I've seen him in, he did that movie with Hugh Jackman about the circus. I thought he was fantastic in that.
Yeah, Greatest Showman. He's a super magnetic performer, and I think in a very weird way, underrated.
Yeah.
He's too good looking to be Ted Bundy. I know everybody said Ted Bundy was very good looking.
Yeah.
He was all right. He was no Zac Efron. Sorry.
Well, good on Ted Bundy, I guess.
Good on Ted Bundy. What is Flinch all about? This is another Netflix show, right?
Oh, boy. I cannot believe this is real at all. So there's a new show called Flinch. It's on Netflix today. It's a game show. It was made in Ireland. It didn't broadcast there, though. This is a Netflix original. And here's the concept of the show. I'm going to tell you the concept. You're not going to believe this is real. So the concept of the show is contestants sit in chairs. It's a game show. Things happen to them, like chickens peck at their faces, or they get prodded, or they get tickled. And if they flinch, they get electrocuted.
What?
And that's the entire concept of the show.
So it's like Make Me Laugh, but times 1,000.
Make Me Fry.
Make Me Fry.
How electrocuted?
Yes.
I mean, is it like a shock collar electrocuted? Because, I mean...
It's with a... Sorry, I can't believe this is real. It's with a cattle prod.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yes. Now, one of my writers, Brett White, was brave enough to actually watch this and did not, you know, no pun intended, flinch away from it himself. And he said, the thing that makes it work about it, it sounds like a dystopian game show that would exist in some sort of movie where you go, well, that's terrible. That could never exist.
Right.
But the thing that works about it is everybody apparently is laughing hysterically and having the best time the entire time. So even though it's these horrific torture scenarios, the people involved in it are enjoying it. The people that are watching it and the audience are enjoying it. So, yeah, I don't know if I can watch it, to be perfectly honest with you, but it sounds like one of the craziest shows I've ever heard of.
Flinch. It's on Netflix.
I can't watch cops when they get in a fight or there's some kind of physical thing going on. There's no way I could watch this. Can you, Bill?
Actually,
you're weird.
I need to see it now.
Oh,
I really do. I need to see it at least once. All right, I'll watch it. It's on Netflix, you said, and that starts when? Today?
Today. It's up today, yeah.
All right, very good. A couple of cast members, there's controversies as to whether or not they are leaving Saturday Night Live. One is Kate McKinnon, the other is Kenan Thompson. Do you know the case in either one?
I don't think there's been any definitive call about either of them. Kate McKinnon's contract is up, so she's certainly been doing a lot of movies. She also just signed up officially to do a Hulu show based on Elizabeth Holmes, the Theranos founder. So she's going to be doing a dramatic, comedic take on that, but that's not going to be out for a while. I would say that one's a little 50-50 right now. Certainly she has enough star power to go and do her own thing, but also she clearly still enjoys SNL as her home base. Kenan, it depends a lot on he has a pilot in the works. And Upfronts Week, where the networks present their new schedules to advertisers, is happening for broadcast in about a week and a half at this point. So if his show is picked up, I fully expect that he will be leaving Saturday Night Live. But if it's not, he might come back for another season.
The Kenan Thompson show, is he and Andy Garcia, right?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. That's some interesting casting, Andy Garcia and Kenan Thompson together on a show.
That classic comedy duo?
Yep, always making funny together.
I thought you were kidding when you said that. He can't leave, though. Isn't he now the longest cast member?
Yeah, he's been on SNL longer than anybody
in
history.
He definitely loves doing it, and they are very accommodating of schedules sometimes. You know, Lorne Michaels certainly understands that his actors want to spread their wings, but I don't know how he could do a full-time sitcom at Saturday Night Live at the same point, even if recent quotes have him saying, oh, I want to stay there. It's the best job in the world.
I've also heard it explained, Alex, that on SNL, there's only a set amount of money. Even if you are the best person on the show, they can only afford a certain amount because there's so many cast members. Is that true? Do you know if that's true or not?
I don't know that, but that certainly sounds correct to me. You know, it's something that you do on your way to something else. Certainly, it's a career-defining thing for people like Will Ferrell or Adam Sandler or whoever else. But, you know, it's something that you do much more out of passion and out of the legacy of the show than anything else.
Oh.
And Adam Sandler, it's coming back finally. It's been off for, what, 3 or 4 weeks? SNL tonight.
Yeah.
This weekend, Adam Sandler will be hosting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time ever. He actually originally said that he would never host the show. That's not something he wanted to do. Well, now he does.
I love him.
We have a quick question about Kelly Clarkson. She was hosting the Billboard Music Awards the other night, and then apparently afterwards had to be rushed to the hospital, an emergency appendectomy. What did they do if this had happened during the show? There's nobody else there to, you know, sitting in the wings just in case of an emergency. What would they have done if this took place during the broadcast?
Well, I think actually just that. I mean, they have enough people that they could potentially throw on, or they could cut around the broadcast and just go from award to award. It really depends on the award show a lot, but excuse me, certainly there are always going to be contingency plans for these sort of things. You hope that they don't happen, but if something like that happens, you have so many people working on the production, and these producers are so fluid in terms of switching from one situation to another. Thankfully, it didn't happen, but I think they would have figured a way to make it work.
I mean, you got me thinking about this now, Bill, when you brought this up and your answer, Alex. It's like even the Academy Awards and everything. I mean, what if they fell off the stage? What if something happened? There has to be someone that is kind of like their
ready
backup.
To fill in. Yeah.
Yeah. My guess would be, for the most part, you get rid of the hosting segments. You just go from thing to thing more than anything.
Oh.
You cut very quickly to commercial when the person falls off stage. and then when you come back, you're just having the announcer announcing everything to keep things moving. But again, it probably varies by production.
For years on David Letterman's show, he had two what he called standby guests. Do you remember who they were? They were always ready just in case.
Richard Lewis?
No. Tony Randall was the first one.
Oh, I do.
And Regis Philbin was the second one. After Tony Randall passed away, he went to Regis Philbin. And the thought process was, if something happens to a guest, we got to have somebody in the bullpen throwing. And a couple of times, they got the call. They came in and did the show.
Alexander, do you watch AP Bio at all?
I don't, but I know there's a couple of people on my staff who are huge fans of it, and I've seen the first couple of episodes, which I really enjoyed.
It's so unbelievably funny, and last night's episode, Glenn Howerton, who is the teacher, is giving a TED Talk, and he falls off the stage and just says whoopsie, and everyone's saying, who says whoopsie when they fall off the stage? So he was known as Dr. Whoopsie as it went viral. So it just reminded me of that. It could happen.
It could happen. Anything can happen. Another show I'm curious about, you tell me about this, Tuca and Birdie. I see it's on the list of things to watch out for. Is this a Netflix production also?
Yeah, it is. I am so in love with this show, I cannot even begin to tell you. It debuted on Netflix today. It's an animated show from Lisa Hatalalt, who did the designs for BoJack Horseman, also on Netflix. It stars, it's very hard to describe it, because it stars Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong as two birds who are friends, which sounds crazy when you say it out loud.
Right.
It's even crazier than that. It's a weirder world than BoJack Horseman. But when it comes down to it, it's very much about female friendship. There's some dark things that are weaved throughout all of the surrealism that happens. I should also mention it's very much an adult animated show. There's animated nudity in it and cursing and sexual situations and everything. But the jokes are so good. There's, without building it up too much, there's a joke at the end of the first episode that had me crying. I was laughing so hard.
Wow.
It's great. I really recommend, particularly if you are into adult animation and want to see something weird and different, check out Tuca and Birdie. All the episodes are on Netflix today.
And let's do one more. This is also a Netflix production. This is a documentary called Knock Down This House. I don't know anything about it. What's this about?
Yeah, Knock Down the House. It debuted earlier this week on Netflix. It's ostensibly about four Democratic candidates that leaned a little more socialist back in the last congressional election. They got super lucky because one of those candidates, three of those candidates lost. The fourth candidate was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So it actually follows her from essentially deciding that she wants to run through her entire run to finding out she won, to her first time heading towards the Capitol building. The folks here have watched it. It's a good documentary. People are definitely going to focus on the AOC stuff.
Yeah.
But particularly if you like her or are interested in her, it's a really interesting look behind the scenes at her life
and
her
great.
Process.
Good.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of texts. If we can fly through them, maybe you have the answer. Ask Alex when Lost in Space, the reboot second season, will be on. Do you know when that's coming?
We don't know yet. We don't have any information, but I'm very excited. That first season was so good.
The Crown, will it come back on?
Yep, there is another season of The Crown. They're going to be jumping forward in time. So most of the cast is going to be recast for the next season, but they are actively filming that right now.
Masters of None season 3, question mark?
Masters, we don't know. I mean, a lot of that depends on whether the Aziz Ansari allegations blow over or not, and we're not quite there yet.
When is Orange is the New Black coming back?
It's done. Isn't it done?
I thought they finished it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's done at this point.
I don't even know if I watched the last season.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's going to be one last season.
Oh, there is.
Out of them, that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
But we don't have a date for it yet.
You aced the lightning round,
that
Alex.
Was good.
Well done. That's Alex Zeldin, managing editor of Decider.com. What a great website. Go to Decider.com for all your TV needs. Alex, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us.
All right. You too. Thanks so much.
Excellent.
Thanks, Alex.